private message. Do people need to bring anything or everything? Okay, I'm back. Bo just reminded me that next Sunday morning we're going to have a picnic lunch after church. It's a great time to invite somebody to church. Always feed them. That brings people somehow. So next Sunday morning, if you can bring somebody with you, it's a potluck, side dishes. There's going to be hamburgers and hot dogs are kind of the main course. It's a picnic. Think picnic. Think picnic. So come, and it will be good, but try to bring somebody with you. Summertime's bad. Everybody's gone everywhere, running. So next Sunday morning, it would be great if we had a big, full house of people staying to have picnic lunch. That would be good. All right. It's very hard for me to preach because at the top of my notes in my Bible, it says, I smell a rat. I don't know what that. I don't exactly know why I wrote that in there, but I wrote that down somewhere for some reason. But that's not what I'm preaching from. I'm preaching from chapter 2 in 2 Corinthians. This is a loose, very loose sermon series. Very loose. I'm not doing like a verse-by-verse study. I'm just letting the Word speak, and as it speaks, I go on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And boy, when we talk about forgiveness, I know I can just say the words, I'm going to preach on forgiveness. And there were, and not literally, but I mean emotionally and spiritually, there are people right now who just folded their arms, put their head down. I don't mean real, but if you look around right now, just anybody know. Emotionally, people fold their arms, put their head down, and they go, I don't like sermons on forgiveness. It doesn't work in my world. I can't forgive. That preacher talks about that, and he has no idea how hurt I've been. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, and you're right. So let me just read it, because this is on forgiveness, and boy, oh boy. Don't close me up just yet, all right? If anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me. Paul is saying this to the church at Corinth, but all of you to some extent. Don't be so severe. Too severe, it actually says. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him, for to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes or devices or ways he works. Father, would you bless, and I know we're dropping into a story of such, would you help us this morning to understand that what Paul is talking about here, Lord, this is probably one of the biggest issues for people who name the name of Christ, for Satan to get into our lives. The issue of forgiveness, or the real issue being unforgiving. Lord, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying, in fact, that it's probably pretty hard. But I believe it is essential. That's a chain that needs breaking in people's lives today. So help us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is very interesting. We're going to get to that, but I just want you not to reject at first glance the truth of God's word, because we have already decided, and I know I can't know this. I'm going to say there's 300 plus people. I don't know if that's even true. I can't tell by looking, but Let's just say there's 300 people, just to be a good round number. Could be more than that. If you have 300 people in a room, I don't care if they're psychiatrists, I don't care if they're pastors, I don't care. In a group of 300 people, there's some people who are in bondage to a spirit of bitterness, and some of them have been for so long that they cannot see coming out of that. So I wrote this sermon as a spirit of forgiveness in opposition to the spirit of bitterness. And we're gonna get into this. I'm just giving you the prelude. How many of you were here on Mother's Day? Let me see your hands very quickly. Very quickly on Mother's Day, you remember Carrie Wisehart was here, and she spoke that day, and she talked about this little pet dog that she called the spirit of unforgiveness. And she talked about how we fall in love with this little pet dog, and we pet it. And on the way to the airport that afternoon, I told her the story of Fluffy. And I yelled the word Fluffy, but she had no clue what I was talking about. How many of you have heard me preach on Fluffy? Fluffy is a rabbit. That Fluffy is also the name of my little animal with the spirit of unforgiveness. And Fluffy is a stuffed animal, and he's stuffed with a rattlesnake. And so he's pretty, and he's white, and his little ears, his little pink ears. I had a neighbor that he was a little bitty guy, and he said, "I love little rabbits with little pink ears." And I've never been able to really say it any other way. But you know how Fluffy is. Sits there, and his nose twitches, and everything's so just, they're so cute. And you pull back his head, and there's a rattlesnake, because he'll kill you. He'll kill you. We laughed on the way to Des Moines because she had never named her puppy, but I named my rabbit. His name is Fluffy, and he's a murderer, and so is that pet that she has. So what about anger? Don't raise your hand. This is what we call rhetorical. How many of you believe anger is a sin? Don't raise your hand, because I don't want anybody to be up in here wrong. How many of you believe anger to be a sin? All right? See, that right there is funny, because if you're saying, well, of course it is. And if you're angry and unforgiving, guess what? You're acknowledging that you're sinning, right? If you say anger is a sin, and if you are angry, then you're sinning. But guess what? I got good news. Anger is okay until it becomes sin itself. Anger's okay. You ready? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Now that's the end of that for me right there. Be angry and do not sin. Then it goes on to say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Do you see how far down the devil is in that list? Be angry and do not sin. Do you know that there are things that make you angry and it's okay to be angry about it? That we call that righteous indignation most of the time, where it is so obvious that something is wrong, we stand opposed to it, and it makes us angry. It makes me angry when I hear about the murders going on in Des Moines. You know, if you're in a drug, if you're in a gang and you're in a rival gang and you fight and shoot each other, while it's sad, it doesn't make me as angry as when you're driving cars down the street, shooting at each other and hitting the person on the street that has nothing to do with that. It makes me angry, and I go, that just isn't right. That's righteous indignation. I don't hate the people. Just that situation makes me angry. You got that? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Before you go to bed at night, you need to be able to say, all hearts clear. We used to say that at the end of long revival messages, hoping to goodness somebody didn't say, no, my heart's not clear, and then you have to go more. We don't have those much anymore, do we? All hearts clear. You should not lay your head on a pillow until your heart's clear with God. If there's a call you need to make, make the call. If there's a visit you need to make, make the visit. But you need to get things straight and not let things go on and on and on. Here's the problem with anger when someone wrongs you. Now, I told you I'm going to go here. I'm saying they were wrong, and you are hurt. Is anybody not understanding that I'm saying? Because I'm not a preacher that's going to get up and say, well, if you love Jesus, it won't matter what somebody else says or does to you. It won't matter. Because if you love Jesus, you'll just... Well, I'm a human being, and I understand that sticks and stones... I can't tell that one on my mama. My mama, she... Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But guess what? Words hurt too. Words hurt too. I'm going to preach on that someday, but not today. You can get your feelings hurt. You can get wounded emotionally. And I'm not telling you that you should never be hurt. I'm not saying that. So they're wrong, they hurt you, and now you're hurt. The question is, now what? So here, because you'll understand this in a minute. The question is, how much, you ever heard the phrase a pound of flesh? How many of you know what I mean when I say a pound of flesh? That ain't even a kind way of saying retribution. I'm going to exact a pound of flesh. That means they're going to get you back. You're going to bleed. I'm going to cut you up to what I think is an equal amount of pain. But if you overdo it, then that person says, all right, I hurt your feelings, but you broke my arm, so now I'm going to crack your skull. And see, it just retaliation. I guarantee you, well, I'm not there yet. Here, let me go. How much flesh does it take to appease the anger God that lives in your heart? This is Marty Hatfield's birthday, isn't it? He's off somewhere on his birthday. Probably working, yes. Marty would have amen me right there. That's what I'm telling y'all that for, because I knew he wasn't in here, because he would have said amen, because he knows when I'm quiet, it means either amen or it's over. And still amen. If you have decided that you cannot forgive somebody until you exact a pound of flesh from them, there's an anger God living in your heart, trying to supplant the place of Jesus himself. And if the anger God wins, you will soon be bowing down to the anger God, and Jesus will have to leave because he will not stay in that place. I'm going to do this till somebody says amen. Y'all get this now? You don't have to agree with me, because some of you don't. Some of you are going, I don't like what you're saying. Did you say God? Yes, anger God. You know, the God of anger that comes to you and says, you've been hurt. You've been wronged. They owe you. Let's get them. And you like that God. You agree with that God. And you begin to serve that God. Right? Amen. Thank you. Somebody finally said, God, this thing's never going to get over with. That's what anger is. I mean, what is the definition of anger when it's going the wrong way? It is a desire to inflict pain back onto the person who wronged you. And listen carefully. Don't misunderstand me. You have every right to repay evil with evil. It says so right in the Bible. Nobody said amen right there, because you're saying, does it really? I don't remember that. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Here's the verse, Romans chapter 12, 17 through 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. So if you're in your mind saying, I'm going to get them back, you're doing something contrary to God. And if it's contrary to God, it's another God talking to you. And in this case, it's the God of anger. It's the anger God. If it is possible, all right, wait, let me just start over. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Is it up there? Yeah. Do not take revenge, my dear friends or beloved, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Wow. See, You can be angry for a little while. You can say, what were they trying to accomplish? Why? What? Do a little self-evaluation. If you really can't come up with any reason that somebody lashed out at you, enjoy that little hurt for a little while, and then you got to move on, or else you got to go start bowing down at the anger God throne. So, anger, point one, anger is fine for a time. Be angry, but do not sin. That was, if you needed to write that down and failed to, that was Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be angry, but do not sin. When God asks you to let it go and you pull it back, when God asks you to let it go and you pull it back, you say, no, I'm not finished with this yet. In that moment, anger becomes a god that you will serve because you really don't want to forgive. How many of you right now, you're glad you came to church today? Let me see those hands all over the room. Praise God. You can't keep them folded if you're raising your hand. So, in this, am I reading the Bible? Am I reading right out of the Bible? Now, let me freak y'all out a little bit, all right? You ready? This is freak out time. We're going back to the Corinth. What did the guy do that Paul is talking about? How many of you have a reference Bible? If you have a reference Bible, I want you to look down at this passage and look right over here on the side and see if it references you to, like, 1 Corinthians. Here it is right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. That's where my Bible references me. Are you ready? I mean, what are we asking this guy to forgive? What are we asking these people to forgive? 1 Corinthians, he says, I wrote to you about this. I told you to do this as a test to see if you would be obedient. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. It is reported that a man is sleeping with his father's wife. Now, don't let your mind go too far. It's this guy's stepmother. His father's wife. It's not the man's mother, it's the father's wife. He's sleeping with the woman. And they go to church together. Praise God from... And all the people are just sitting there taking it. Looking at them like, well, they're a little different. That's just... I mean, yeah. So you know that Paul is not talking about something that should be easily swept under the rug. That's a pretty stinking big deal in my world. Are you puffed up? Have you not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you? For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged. Paul says, I've already decided what to do, as though I were there. I've already judged him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, just like it's me there, with the power of our Lord Jesus, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Remember when I asked you a while ago, a pound of flesh? Wonder where that terminology came from. Paul says, deliver him over to Satan. Let Satan beat on him a while. Maybe at least he'll be saved in the end. Wow. This is a guy sleeping with his stepmother. Paul hears about it, writes to the church at Corinth, puts major judgment on him and on the church for putting up with it. But now Paul is writing back and saying, all right, the punishment was heavy, but now love the guy back to Jesus. Everybody okay with that? Everybody okay with that? Say, oh, I'm okay with that. One person. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Paul, the apostle, wrote this. He said, all right, you put him outside the church. I've heard about it. You did what I asked you to do. Now love him back to Jesus. Are you okay with loving people back to Jesus? Say, I'm okay. I didn't hear. Maybe it's just this ear doesn't work as good. If we're okay with loving people back to Jesus, say, I'm okay. A little quiet over here, but it's all right. We're some. I really didn't hear this side. And they said, thank God. I'm okay with loving people back to Jesus. I'm okay. Even if it's his stepmother, I'm okay. The guy's sleeping with his stepmother and going to church with her. I'm okay. I'm okay. See, this wasn't some light deal that didn't matter. This is heavy-duty stuff, man. The guy's a creep. Mama's, stepmama's a little bit of a creep, if you ask me. I don't know. Bam, I don't know what you do with people like that. There's things you can do. I mean, there's just, wow. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so Paul says, put him over to Satan. Let Satan work on him a while. Maybe in the end it'll turn out. And then Paul writes him back and says, okay, you did what I said. You passed that test of obedience. Now here's the second test. And in all reality, it's harder. Wouldn't it be easy if Paul wrote to us and said, turn them over to Satan? And he says, all right, you did that. Now love them back. Which one's harder? Turning them over to Satan's easy. Loving them back to Jesus is harder. Wow. Wow. Paul or Jesus or God himself does not give us the authority to be judge, jury, and executioner. Here's my deal, and I've used this because his name's Richard. We eat breakfast together over here, and he uses this. It's a silly, just dumb illustration, but it makes the point. If you hate somebody, what you need to do is get up every morning and pour a teaspoon of poison in a little teaspoon. Drink it and think their name. Wouldn't that work good? Just every morning, get up and drink a little poison and think their name. Who are you killing there? Yeah. When you can't forgive someone, you're taking the poison hoping they die. What's wrong with that picture? That's what unforgiveness is. That's what anger is. It's you poisoning you, hoping it affects somebody else. Praise God, preacher. That's good preaching. Thank you. Straight out of the Bible. I notice you're reading a lot of scriptures today. Yeah, because I want people to know this is straight out of the Bible. Thank you. Amen. Amen. This is right out of the Bible. Last one. You know Satan will take advantage. You know that. Comes from verse 11. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, Paul puts it on to Satan, and then he says, let's not let Satan be in charge of this. Let's take this back from Satan. Let's do this in Jesus' name. The reason this is an important topic, and the reason the devil tries to use it to his advantage, is because we are an emotional being. And when we hurt, there's a natural instinct to remedy the pain. And so to us, the natural instinct to remedy the pain when we are hurt is to hurt back. Can I tell you? It doesn't work. Sometimes people hate other people, and the other person doesn't even know they hate them. That's really a waste of time. If you're going to hate somebody, you ought to call them on the phone every day or go by their house and stop and go up to the door and just say, just so you know, I still hate you. I just wanted to tell you before I go home, I hate you. Go get in your car. And at least they know the score. At least they know where you're at. Well, I'm not even going to say the word Facebook because there's plenty of examples of that already out there. So you say, preacher, nobody's going to do that. Yeah, some people will do it. But I'm saying, do you think it does any good? Especially if you're claiming to be a Christian and trying to justify angerness and bitterness in your heart and saying, God understands. He knows how hurt I was. Wow. Yeah, he knows all about hurt. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He knows all about hurt. This is a quote from the Easter drama. We wrote it just for that. No, it's straight out of the Bible. The Jews, standing off from Jesus, watching him die, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. And he was hearing them. Romans are Gentiles. Who cares about them, right? They're down here. They pulled the robe and they said, man, this is woven. This is one piece. This is a pretty decent garment. No need to tearing it up. Let's gamble for it. He's dying, and they're down here rolling dice to see who gets the decent piece of cloth he owned. Oh, Jesus understands hurt. He knows what hurt is. Don't think Jesus doesn't get it. So what did he say on the cross? Father, strike them all down. Put them in hell where they deserve. Anybody remember the quote? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're acting in ignorance. Boy, if Jesus can understand that hurt, and by the way, none of them were ignorant. They did not realize they were killing the Son of God. I got that one. But they were doing exactly what they intended to do, mock and kill him. So don't think Jesus doesn't get it, because Jesus gets it. And he wants you to forgive him too. And the issue is, when will it ever end and when will it be enough? That's the deal. And I can promise you that if the devil has his way, the answer is never. It will never end and there will never be enough. Ever. And so then you will be the one eaten up with anger. The sooner we forgive, the sooner we get better. You really want to punish somebody who's wronged you? Get over it. And go on living. And when they see you, if they really want this to continue and you won't have any part of it, you know what the Bible says that is like? It's like heaping coals on their head. Oh, finally it goes the other way. Yeah, because they may really and truly hate you. They may really and truly want you to be suffering. And if you refuse to suffer, you're putting it back on them 10,000 times worse than if you play the game. Because when you play the game, they think you're participating and they want you to. So you just get above it. You just don't play the game and let them go start drinking poison and thinking they're hurting you. And you just smile and you say, I will not play that game. Then you're better off. And spiritually, you can make contact with Jesus in a way that he says, I know it hurt. I'm not telling you it didn't hurt. I know, but we're better than that. We're better than that together. Come on. Don't even look over there. Come on, let's go. Let Jesus lead you to the victory side of that deal. You got chains? He's a chain breaker. You got pain? He's a pain taker. Man, you need freedom? You want to get those chains shook off? He is your way. He is your way. Let me tell you one more thing. You can forgive someone whether they accept it or not. I listened to a debate on the radio one time, WHO radio, and somebody called in and said, well, if they don't accept your forgiveness, this lady was saying that she needed to forgive her daddy for things he had done when she was a little girl, but her daddy died. She said, I can't forgive him. And the person said, of course you can. You can forgive him. And somebody called in and said, no, if the person doesn't accept it, then the forgiveness doesn't count. Duh. Of course it counts. If you forgive, you can't control them. You can only control you. And with Jesus helping you, you can forgive whether they accept it or not, and you go on and live your life better, chain free from that thing called anger. And you can leave that old anger God. That's a little fat guy with his legs crossed. No, that's Buddha. Sorry, I got the wrong one. You can leave that anger God over there where he belongs, lonely, having nothing to do with you, and you have nothing to do with him. Don't let it control you. That's not a negative sermon, guys. It's a positive sermon. That's not getting on anybody because you get your feelings hurt and get mad. Anger's okay for a time. Just don't let the devil use it. You know how his schemes work. You already know the game he's going to try to get you in. You want to beat him at it? Do you want to beat the devil this morning? Stand up if you do. And if you don't, we'll be back at 6 o'clock. You'll be good right where you're at. Oh, we are going to have church at 6, and I hope some of you come. It's a good, I love it. I almost swapped them today. I almost.